And that's right, don't laugh at me. This here is Big Dot here on the Jumbo Braille program, the one and only program on the Success Radio Network that can be felt, coming to you every Thursday night at 9 p.m., saying welcome one, welcome all to our program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states and our countries near and far, as well as those who've called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Just press the number one, join the conversation. And tonight we got a unique guest. He's the one that you hear every Sunday here on the Success Radio Network, as well as Monday night for the Motivational Monday program. It's our one and only Pastor Bonnet. So we got him with us, Ruth?
Yes, he's here.
Okay. So how you doing, Pastor Bonnet?
All right, doing good. Just not hearing you. And for whatever reason, I went out. I couldn't hear nothing for a moment, for the past minute. But I can hear you now, so we're good. I'm doing good this evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
All right.
All right.
I am doing good. I am blessed. I'm thankful to be on your program this evening. Amen. Amen. I was looking for some dark glasses, but I couldn't find none, so I don't want to do the show blindfolded.
Well, that's part about what our show is about disability, so if you were blindfolded, you'd fit right on in. Okay, but starting off, we want to see the first question I'm going to ask you tonight is if you could give us your testimony of salvation, when you got saved, how you got saved, how did that all come about?
Well, for me, that's in two parts. I was, as a young kid, I was brought up in the church. I was roughly about the age of seven when I desired to be baptized and make the confession in front of the church that Jesus is my Lord. They were saying that, you know, at the time they thought I was young and didn't understand. And they asked me the question, where is Jesus? And I said in my heart, they said, well, he understands enough. it was at that instant, that evening, I had an accident where I fell in a puddle of glass that was around a tree, and it ripped through my clothing. And being that young, you know, you get bumps and bruises, and you just jump back up and you keep on running. You think nothing of it. And the reason why it was so monumental to me is because even though it was hurting, I kept on trying to play with the friends at the church. And got home that evening to grandmom's house, and I was still in pain. And they say, take your pants off, and because I had a little rip in my pants. But there was no blood that I can remember around the pants. And they said, take your pants off. And I was shocked, y'all women. They said, boy, ain't nobody looking at you. Take them pants off. And so I took my pants off. And lo, to my surprise, when I looked at my knee, it was completely close to the color white. All I saw was the meat where my kneecap was. I saw no skin. The glass had cut me all the way through. And it was at that moment I hollered. And they had to threaten to beat me to get me to stop hollering. So that was a monumental point in my life. And I grew up in the church, and we all grew up just loving God and understanding how to worship and how to serve him. There was a scripture that was read to me in my young teenage years. The lukewarm he spew out. And at that time in my life, I had picked up a strong interest in girls, and like many teenage boys, you're trying to fill out where you are in the world at some point. And I felt like, wait a minute. He said, be cold or hot, for the lukewarm he spew out. And so I decided at that time, around about 18, I worked all through high school, so I had my own transportation and different things. I figured at that time I wasn't going to play with God. I either was going to be with him or not. And I left the church for a season, and I was out there for a few years. And one great day on walking down Duval Street there in Jacksonville, Florida, my grandmother had passed on to go be with the Lord. And I was staying in the house that she was renting because we didn't want to try to disperse all of her stuff at one time. So the landlord allowed me to just pick up the rent and pick and just and so it all worked out there. But it was after I had been through some personal hardship myself at the time, and I had just gave up on a few things that I thought that was decent, and start living my life against the way I was brought up, against the way I believe that a man should be, because it was seemed like to me everyone else that was doing those things didn't seem like God was really judging them. And at the time, that scripture, "Fret not because of evildoers," really wasn't in my repertoire, so I didn't know that. But I can distinctly remember crossing the street from the down the corner, going over by the government building, and I heard a voice speak out to me, call me by name, telling me to return, telling me that if I choose not to return, that the what was waiting for me if I don't return. And I felt a godly sorrow in my heart, and I cried out to the Lord. There was no sermon, nobody witnessing to me, because the word of God was already in my heart. And I just said, Lord, I don't know how to come back. And at that moment, I heard these words, call your mother. And so I did that and said, Mom, I need to come back to the Lord. I need to get back in church and do what's right and fulfill the call of God in my life. I said, where are you worshiping? And she told me. And that following Sunday, that first Sunday after this happened, I began to go to church with her, and we commit my life back to the Lord. And so that happened to me, and I made a few mistakes in the months to come, and what I consider mistakes, many may not, but I was serious about my relationship with the Lord, so I cut off ties with friends and different people that I knew that wasn't trying to live a godly life. I broke up relationship that I was in because at that time I said I did not want to be married, and it was not fair for me to waste that particular young lady time until I may be hindering what God really has for you. So I'm going to move myself out the way, and so that I can focus on me being right with God the way he wants me to be. And so I began that particular trend of just really seeking God for Kenneth. And as the end of the year came, we ended up going to a church called Titus. And this is at the time when it was in the worship center. And I began just to be active in church, attentive, going to all the services. One day as I was getting ready to go inside the house, I heard the Lord says, when you get on the inside, and the text that it opens to, this is your word. And it turns to 2 Timothy 2, where it says, make full proof of your ministry. And I went to my then Pastor R.J. Washington, who's going on to be with the Lord now. And I shared that with him, and that what the Lord has gave me. And he shared with me that in the beginning of his ministry, that's what God had gave him. And he asked me, what did I feel that God was giving me to do? And I told him that I want to help people get to church. And then I was seeing and so I started driving the church bus, picking up people, bringing them to church. Went back to him and told him I saw, because we were transporting our children over to, we had a storefront as well. We were transferring the students, the kids, to that storefront. And I saw how their interaction with the women teachers many times was not appropriate. And so I would stick over there and make them behave, and so that they can learn the lessons that were being taught. And I shared that with him, and that began me actually ministering as a children minister. And the rest is history. I guess we'll get to it as we go. But that's my genesis. Starting out at Faith United Holiness up under Bishop Duffel Benjamin, went on to Pastor R.J. Washington, and my former pastor is my bishop, Bishop Brandon B. Porter, who I am under his jurisdiction in the Grand Old Church of God in Christ.
Okay, and the second question kind of leads off of where you were, kind of continues that testimony. When and how were you called to preach?
Well, the when was, as I said, that was in, I want to say, 95, January of 95, because I got married January of 96. So, yeah, I got married a year later. So, January of 95. Because I came back to the Lord in 94, the summer of 94, and in 95, January, that was when I heard the call. Actually, I knew my call long prior to that, so I do have to do what they call a flashback. There's a street called Spring Park where we was my mom and myself, and I think my brother was with us too at the time. We were going into a thrift store, and as we walked into the thrift store, a man ran in there behind us, and he said, excuse me, ma'am. He said, I'm not pursuing you or anything of that nature. I'm not asking for anything. I'm just going to obey God. The Lord told me to tell you that this child here shall be a mighty man of God, a preacher for the gospel. And he said some other things. That's the part that I fully remember.
Somebody keep tapping the mic, and it's interfering with the interview. I don't know who's moving around, but.
Okay. Well, I hope that's not me. I don't hear it.
Every other word you speak, it's like I hear like a tapping of the mic. I just heard it again.
Okay. Well, if it keeps doing that, it could be my connection, and let me know, and I hang up and call back in to make sure it's not the connection that I have.
Okay, I just want people to hear you.
Amen. And so we were in the thrift store when this perfectly stranger came in and said that. And at the time, I was about the age of 10. And I can remember during those times. And people that remember me from back in those days, they just remember me. They say, man, you've always been a little preacher because I used to pattern my pastor at the time, Pastor Benjamin. I admired him, his wife, and the other leaders in the church. And so for Sunday school, I was always the top. Matter of fact, I developed so to I was more knowledgeable than my age group, so they put me in with the juniors because my understanding of scripture was something that for the longest I always just had a good understanding, pretty good understanding of the scripture. So I was able to be with the older kids through the Sunday school class. And even then I was leading because we used to do Sunday school review. And I was the only one always volunteering. And they say, yeah, somebody else need to go. And they used to have to make other people do it. But me, I was always ready just to say something about God, you know. So that was the beginning of it. And like I said, prophetic ministry that God has gifted me with, it was something that kind of, I don't want to say threw me for a loop, but I was kind of weary of it. I didn't fully understand how I was able to say the things that I was saying concerning people and be spot on. And a good friend of ours, matter of fact, the young lady that was on the program Motivational Monday, Benita Robinson, she was the one that spoke that into me. She said, "Man of God, you're a prophet." And I said, "Nah, y'all ain't going to have me around here lying to people." And the Holy Spirit convicted me strongly. And I began to ask God, why is this conviction on me? He said, "How is it a lie if you only say what I say?" And I can remember weeping and apologizing to God and just saying, "God, I'm sorry for doubting you. I'm sorry for my words. But I will only say what you say when it comes to speaking from you." And then I began to accept that calling. And, man, I would be all night talking about the different opportunities that God gave me over the years, even in that season, how God just opened door after door after door so that I can speak prophetically into the lives of so many people. I can remember going to a particular missionary Baptist church, and the pastor there favored me, and she would constantly invite me to come back and speak. She said, "We want to let your gift grow." And so many people's lives that I spoke into that would come back to me at different times and speak to me and say, "Man of God, what you said was spot on, what you told me this." And I would remember, for the most part, I would not remember the different events and the different things that were going on that was being said, except for the people who resounded it to me. So that prophetic ministry that God has given me, I had somebody ask me, "How do that work?" I said, "Listen, I don't know nothing but to say yes to God. This is not witchcraft. It's not something I studied. I simply just said, made myself available to be used by God, and this is what he chose to do in me and through me." And he proved it so many times. The very first time I moved to Memphis in 2000, it was September of 2000. Back then, Nextel had the phone where you can use your phone as a regular phone or as a CB and connect to everybody that's in the Nextel network. And prior to that, since I was driving buses, those were the typhoons we was using, so that we didn't actually have to use the phone itself, because you didn't have no unlimited minutes. You paid by the minutes, 30, 40, 50 cents, whatever it was back then. And so that truck kicked in one night, and it kept chirping, so I answered it. And when I answered it, initially, speaking in hindsight, there were some teenage kids that was playing on their Nextel. And when they called me and started the conversation, somehow or another, the Spirit of the Lord just moved in me to begin to speak to certain conditions. And they stopped playing. They became very serious. And at the beginning, I knew it was at least one or two people. I was suspecting two people. But as I began to speak to them, I was talking to them, and in the circle that they were sitting in, it was as if, and this is what they told me after the fact, after I did it, they confessed and told me everything. And but I went to speaking to the person that I was talking to, and the person that was sitting I think she told me her left in that circle, and all the way around, and started speaking to that person, then started speaking to the young guy that was there, and started speaking to the other person that was there. And she was the only one talking over the phone, but I spoke to each of them in their situation and in their relationship as it related to them knowing God, and was able to help them connect to God in a whole nother way, to receive God. It proved to them that God loved them, that God was concerned about them. It made a difference. I never met them. I gave them my address. They sent me a picture of them that I still have, and a letter saying thank you. And it was scenes like this that just made me so grateful to God, to know that he would use people to speak to other people right where they are. And so my ministry took on that type of compassion. I was already compassionate as a person, period, a people person. But it really made me just, when I minister from my heart so that people would develop and change. And I think I answered the question. I might have went a little bit further. I don't know. Hopefully that answered it.
You actually went a little further, but it was really good. Now, next question I have for you is, on the Six Eyes Radio Network, you call yourself Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. When did you actually get your calling as a pastor, and where do you pastor, and that kind of thing?
I was released a pastor in February of 2012, I think it was. Yes, 2012, I think it was. The name of my church at the time, again, I'm up under Bishop Brandon Porter. I was a leading elder for Greater Community Temple. I was over the sound ministry and the evangelism department, which I served as a jurisdictional president of evangelism. That was my primary teaching, teaching in evangelism. And I began during this time, I'm a supervisor, manager for a company, and I went to my general manager and began to question him about my leadership skills from a natural standpoint. And he asked me why, and I told him, I said, well, I'm looking at the pastor, it's in my heart. I had already sat down with my family prior, letting them know that that was the direction that I was leaning to, that we may be leaving our church home to start a church of our own. And so when I talked with my bishop about it, and the way the Church of God in Christ organization is, you are either appointed to a church or you start your own with the permission of your bishop. And so that was the direction, and I didn't receive an appointment to, in other words, he didn't send me to a church that was already established. I gave him what I believed that the Lord was giving me at that time and went through the questioning and counseling from him. And he released me out to pastor. The name of the ministry is called True Word of Faith. Every bit of that is the very definition of the ministry that God has given me. It's one that deals with the true word of God, and it is applied with faith. And so we started there, went from one location to another location, had some not so good landlords, I say that. And we don't have to get into the details because I don't believe in trying to slander anyone or just speak ill of them. So with some disagreements, end up going into one of the members' home. But we had a position that called a meeting. And with all the pastors in our tradition, and our jurisdiction at the time, we had well over 100 churches up under his umbrella of the Tennessee Central Ecclesiastic Jurisdiction. But he called a meeting with all the local pastors around the Memphis area. And so we met with him, and he talked with some things. And one of the other pastors that had was there at the meeting. He was a minister. Up under me, probably about a couple of years prior to his father had passed on. He was a pastor, and he picked up the umbrella from that and brought that particular flock over to the Church of God in Christ. And after the meeting, he said, Bonnet, man, where are you fellowshipping at? I said, right now, we took the ministry into one of the saints' home. And he said, man of God, you ain't got to do that, man. And he said, man, you're welcome to come and share the building with us. And he said, man, I'll be nice to you, man. I ain't gonna try to charge you a whole lot of money. And I took it to him, and we went there, and we shared the building with him for several years, up until I had a surgery that I had to have in my jaw. A lot of times when you all hear me speaking and I pause, many times I'm pausing because I'm readjusting how I'm talking. Because this particular surgery caused me to lose my, I had a blastoma tumor, and it got very aggressive. and so I had to have the surgery. And so I had some other things going on in the family. And this was prior before the pandemic. Just prior to the pandemic. And my brother was having some things going on at his church. And so we sat down and talked, and we came to agreement that I would just come over and be supportive to him. Because both of us were working in our jurisdiction. He's our elective president of chairman of our pastors and elders council. I am the secretary of that said council. And so it just seemed feasible and reasonable to with the things that was going on in the church and health-wise, just to not keep that burden on me to keep trying to do all the things that I was doing and focusing on my health. And so we made that transition 2 years back. And so I'm assisting him as a ordained elder in the church to assist him with whatever needs of the house. The church is in Somerville, which is a good 45-minute ride from where we are, a 45-50-minute ride from Memphis. So we made that transition, still working in our jurisdiction, still doing all the things we were doing, but made that transition from being a lead pastor to just being a supportive one. But, yeah, my pastoring started in 2012. So I received a certificate from the Church of God in Christ authorizing me to pastor in the affirmation in which I am now still a part of.
Okay, Pastor Bonnet, I think you're still having phone trouble there because you keep it's like as if you're either hitting the phone with your jaw or whatever is causing the problem there. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a song here and let you try reestablishing contact again, and we'll see if that improves it, okay?
All right, let's do that. Let's try that.
Okay. Mr. Bonnet. Let's see if this improves
Amen.
Any. Okay.
Amen. Let's hope so. Can you hear
right.
me all right?
I hear you fine. Next question
That's
I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask this
can
one,
I,
then I'm going to open it up for the rest of the clan.
Well, before you ask the question, Mr. Ken, let me back up. I just want to read my old bio. It may repeat a few things, but I used to have a bio for when I did speaking engagements that in our circles, a lot of times they want to give the people a little preview of who you are. While we was changed out there, I pulled up one of my old bio. Now it says married to my wife for 17 years, so that lets you know how long we've been married, 25 years since I updated it. But I just want to read it. It says Pastor Kenneth Bonnet Sr. is an anointed vessel of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom has been set apart as a mouthpiece for the kingdom of God. He accepted his call in ministry in 1995 and has been ministering under the unction of the Holy Spirit ever since. He is originally from Jacksonville, Florida, where he served as a children minister, a transportation driver, and one of the church outreach programs, all under the leadership of Pastor R.J. Washington and the Titus Harvest Dome Ministry. Upon relocating to Memphis, Tennessee in September of 2000, he was blessed to be planted at the Greater Community Temple Church of God in Christ under the leadership of Pastor Brandon B. Porter, then superintendent, he's now bishop, and the Memphis District Church of God in Christ, now jurisdictional bishop of the Tennessee Central. He and his family have been dedicated tithing members for over 12 years, at the time we left, while assigned to Greater Community Temple. He received his ordination as an ordained elder in the church while working in various capacities, such as the sound engineer for the church, street and door-to-door ministry, and the bookstore manager, to name a few things done by him. He just believes in doing whatever it takes to make ministry happen. Now he's currently the Memphis District Evangelist President of the Central Tennessee Jurisdiction Church of God in Christ. On February 19, 2012, he preached his first sermon as the founder pastor of True Word of Faith Church of God in Christ. He's proud to be married to the beautiful, prayerful, and anointed jewel of a lady, missionary Lakeisha A. Bonnet. It says 17 years, it's been now 25. And they're blessed with two sons, Kenneth and Enoch, and two daughters, Quantica and Ariel Bonnet. Most of all, Prophet Bonnet is a servant, and his heart's desire is to empower God's people with the full truth of God's word. His simple messages are, number one, a greater community starts with Jesus and you. Please be a good neighbor. Number two, let's love one to another. And number three, I am my brother's keeper. And that's my bio.
All right. Well, now, speaking of things like that would be read, My next question actually leads me right into you reading something else, and then we're going to open up questions from other folks so that I can take a little break here. And that is, would you give us your statement of faith, what you actually believe, your doctrinal stand?
Amen. All right. This is something that I had in the church reading every Sunday because I just believe a lot of people join churches because some churches have great choirs, some churches have popular preachers, and they don't know what the church actually stands for, what their church mission is in the community or around the world. And so I think it's very important for people when you connect to the ministry that you understand what it's connected to. You know, I just think that's just a very important thing. Every job that I ever had a mission statement, why they was in existence. And so your local church should have a mission statement. Your organization should have a mission statement in life as to what it stands for, what its plans are. The Church of God in Christ have what we call a affirmation of faith. These are the principles in which we stand and believe on, so that there will be complete unity within our body. We believe that there is only one God, eternally existent in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe in the blessed hope, which is in the rapture of the Church of God, which is in Christ at his return. We believe that the only means of being cleansed from sin is through repentance and faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We believe that the regeneration by the Holy Ghost is absolutely essential for personal salvation. We believe that the redemption work of Christ on the cross provides healing for the human body and the answer to the believer's prayer. We believe that the baptism of the Holy Ghost, according to Acts 2 and 4, is given to believers who ask for him. Some may say it, but the third part of the Trinity is a person. So I say him. Amen. If you ask for him, he's coming. Amen. And we believe in the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit, by whose indwelling the Christian is enabled to live a holy and separate life in this present world. Amen. Hands down, that's our statement or our affirmation of faith for the Church of God in Christ everywhere.
All right. Now, we do have Sister Lila, and we have six. We'll start with Sister Lila. Do you have any questions for Pastor Bonnet?
I can't hear.
Well, her mic is open, so she probably fell asleep on us. Okay, Six, do you have any questions?
Yes, sir. What would you say to a aspiring person who wants to preach? What would you say to him or her?
I would say the first thing is, know your own testimony. A lot of times, people get intimidated because they feel that they don't know enough about the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they don't know as much as what it seems that others may know. You didn't know as much as a 12th grader when you was in the first grade, but you kept going to school. Because eventually, mm-hmm. you as a first grader became a 12th grader and you graduated. And we have to look at it like that. So know your testimony, because your testimony is how God appealed to you, how God helped you change or convert. And so your testimony is the evidence that God do save, that God can deliver. So far above you being able to quote scriptures or put a sermon together, know what God has done for you. Because in a real testimony of life, it's all right to read about what happened to Daniel and the three Hebrew boys and Moses. It's good to know what happened to Peter and Paul and all of them. But I want to know what he's doing for you. What? Because I see you. I can't see them. I can't. I can only read about them. So I can relate to you because I can see you. And so help me make this relevant to me as an unbeliever. So I need to know your truth, your real, not your truth, because your truth can be a lie. I need to know your real, what really happened. And I said that, and one day I talk about that later on, because people nowadays are using that phrase, well, it's my truth. Well, your truth can be a lie. And we know that because the Bible says the tongue is an unruly evil. And, excuse me, who can know it? So it's possible for your tongue, it's possible for your heart to deceive you. These things are possible. Because if we told the whole truth, many of us, we believe some stuff without evidence because it's just what we believe, only to find out later on that it wasn't truth, and we wasted a lot of time believing something wrong. So that's why people need to know your testimony. So anybody that's trying to witness or share God with anybody, the best place to start is with you, you know, and then go to the cross. Highlight the cross and whatever else God gives you for that individual. Did I answer your question, sir?
Yes. Yes, you did.
Is my mic
Thank you.
Still going in and out, or is it holding
on?
No,
it's clear now. No, it's clear now.
Okay.
All right.
Any more questions? Come on. I'm ready.
Okay, so with your pastoring here on the station, do you ever consider going to a auditorial app?
Yes, I've had different ones wanting me to reopen and those things like that, but I know that the scripture says be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication let your request be made known unto the Lord. And so since I made the turn to be an assistant to my brother in ministry and to help him and to encourage him, to build him, we're getting ready to do a second portion of that ministry that's coming to Memphis. And so we put a lot of energy, effort, and thought behind that ministry that will be opening here in Memphis. And so we're pushing to do that. One thing I know in all the things that I read in the Bible, and life has shown me that too, that if God says it, that settles it. If God tells you this and that, it's coming to pass. Just, you don't have to get out of pocket to make it happen. You just have to be active in making it happen. And so I'm active in ministry. I'm active in doing the things of God. I'm moving forward with the single concern of just fulfilling the will of the Father. And so I know at the appointed time, for me to reopen that particular ministry in that way, in that capacity. God will give it to me when to do and how to do and where to do. Because one of the first things that I did when I first opened the ministry, it was one of the things that I did is I funded it out of my pocket 100%. When we first opened, we went into an impoverished neighborhood.
Okay.
Where I provided free lunch for the kids during the summer. The program that was supposed to sponsor me in it dropped me 2 weeks afterwards. But we were committed to that community for those, I think it was 14 weeks of summer, 12 weeks of summer, whatever it was. And so I gathered the kids together and told them what happened. And I asked them, what would they like for me to do? Did they want me to keep it going? They said yes, so I went in my pocket, and I provided them a set of cold lunches. I started cooking hot dogs and making sandwiches and preparing meals, lunch for them every single day throughout the summer.
That's cool.
Which I funded out of my pocket. And at the same time when that happened, I went through a $10,000 financial reversal because of the acts of my company that I was working with. They decided to restructure the company and make some changes in pay. And in order for me to stay in the position that I was doing, I would have to take a pay decrease in order to stay on the shift that I was at. And that particular shift allowed me to travel, to do ministry, to be active in the organization. So when I accepted that, it came with a price. Literally cost me, it physically, really, truly cost me $10,000. I was already losing about 9 to 10, not accepting the extra days that they was offering me. That I was entitled to. So overall, you know, I was looking at losing, you know, in the neighborhood of almost $20,000 a year trying to fulfill the call that God has gave me. And so when I talk about sacrifices for the Lord, I truly am one who has, I didn't just talk it. I walked it.
All right.
All right. Well, let me give you another question here, Pastor Bonnet. In your church, how many people usually come on a given, like, Sunday or Wednesday, just come to the services?
Well, right now, we see about 30 people each Sunday. On a regular basis. Even during the pandemic, we kept around about 20 each Sunday. We practiced social distancing. We ask that everyone that come in mask up. We have hand sanitizers at the table, near the altar, by the bathroom areas. We keep the place sanitized down, and we follow the CDC guidelines for as trying to be safe. But we preach faith. The coronavirus is no different to God than any other virus, any other disease. And we have now, for nearly 2 years, the world has put so much emphasis on the coronavirus to it's very seldom you hear now about people that are still dying from heart attack, strokes, people that still have cancer in their body, still going through those different changes. people that are dying from high blood pressure, people that are dying from sugar diabetes, those numbers are still as high as they was. And in some cases, some members have gotten a little higher. But this coronavirus has blinded the world to all these other things that's going on. It's still going on today. And I think it's mainly personally, I believe it's caused the way the media deliver it. They talk about, now they're talking about this variant, talking about the children getting it. Last year, we very seldom heard of any children getting the coronavirus, especially any under a certain age. And now since school started back, now all of a sudden, out of nowhere, kids are getting it. I think we have to pray more. There's something going on in our world. I believe there's demonic forces working behind the scenes. And so we need to be praying that God will reveal all in his timing and bring forth proper resolution to this conflict that we're going through throughout this world. So,
amen.
There's a little background, like music or something in the background there. I'm not sure who that's got that. So if you're not speaking, please mute yourself, okay?
Not on this side. Not on this side.
I know it wasn't you, Pastor Bunny. I was just saying whoever it was, they need to either mute the music or background or whatever, or mute their own phone until they're ready to ask a question. Now, of those people that come, the 30 people, how many active members would you say you have that are actively active in ministry?
For leaderships in ministry?
No, I mean active in any way, like soul winning, doing Sunday school, bus ministry, whatever. I mean active in any way.
We try to involve, that's one of the things now. I'm grateful to be a part of the Greater Somerville Church family because it is our goal to make every member an active member. We did a series teaching on I Am the Church, teaching people the primary responsibility of being a church member, more so than just name. And so we've been blessed to have a wonderful group of people that are constantly interacting with every portion of ministry that we're doing at this time. And we're not doing too much outreach ministry right now because they're still not allowing, you know, they don't regularly recommend you going door to door and stuff of that nature right now. But we're still doing, we still have our tracks, we still have our Facebook, we still are passing along the information, the links. We do our Bible study on Zoom so people can be a part of that, even if they don't want to come to the building. So we give a safe option where you can still interact as if you were there, but still be in the seclusion of your own environment, your home. And so we have that everywhere. And it's a one-hour power, and we start off with one of the things that we push, and Pastor Calhoun is adamant about it, is your takeaway. It don't matter who you are. Our children have takeaways, so it blows you away while we're on the Zoom call for Bible study when the children say, I got a takeaway too. And they bring out their little tablet where they took notes.
That's cool.
They take notes on what the pastor is preaching. Matter of fact, in their Sunday school time, that's their little contest to see who has gathered the most notes and about what was taught and how well they are able to resound what was taught in the church service. And so it's programs like that that everyone gets to be a part of. First Sunday is Family Sunday, where we encourage families to come. The pastor prays for all the families. At the end of service, that's also our Communion Sunday. On Second Sundays is Women's Sunday. We encourage the women. The message usually has a leading to encourage women even more. But the women department, they're in charge of moderating the service, doing the greeting parts of the service. So, and they take turns and doing the different things, reading the scripture, praying the service in. Then on third Sundays, we have our youth department, which is the same cycle. The youth department, they're reading the scriptures. They're doing the prayer. They're at the door doing the greetings. They're active as a department. They're singing, even though the praise and worship team do a song, but then the youth will come up, the children. They'll come up and they'll sing their song. And then on that fourth Sunday is Men's Sunday, which I'm over the men's department. I'm the coordinator over the men's ministry. Every third Saturday, we have our men's breakfast on Zoom. We used to do it in person, where we sit back, chill, and talk about some things for men. And it's a men's only conversation. The women are not allowed. Now, the women, they do their thing, too. They have their suit. But the men, I got to speak for the men because I was a man. Amen. Amen. And we have our meeting. And God has blessed me that each month we have a topic that we deal with that's strictly for us from our point of view and our perspective as men. And we do our very best. I do my very best to stick with the monthly emphasis, which y'all hear me give a lot of time on the program, on the Sunday program, the monthly emphasis, because we're focusing on reaching the whole family. And so, and then when we have those fifth Sundays, again, those fifth Sundays are Family and Friends Day, when we encourage the members to invite friends, family, coworkers, what have you, to be a part. Before the pandemic, we used to cook, have food, and we sit in the back, and we have a fellowship hall, and we break bread with the people. And just really enjoy one another. Our church family is truly that. It is a family. We come from different walks of life, but when we come together, we are together for the one called Jesus Christ, and we get along very well. And I'm grateful to say we don't have no drama going on in the church. That's came too many churches say that, you know. All churches should be able to say that, but sometimes you have it. And so we've been blessed and fortunate to build a group of people to encourage them. And we didn't lose no one from the pandemic. We had one death, but it was not due to COVID. And we had some of our members who had family members, just about two or three of them, that had family members that died and due to COVID. And if I'm correct, I think we had three of our members that actually contracted the disease, but God touched them, delivered them, and they're still active, working, responsive in life now. Two or three. My youngest son being one, young lady, trying to think of who the third one was. I'm thinking of the third person, I can't remember right now. But so we've been blessed, we've been fortunate, and we thank God for it.
That's a blessing.
Pastor Bonnet, now, knowing that this show is geared toward those with disabilities, I got a couple questions about disabilities in relationship to your ministry. First question is,
before you
how
ask
many
that
people...
question, before you ask that question, okay,
right.
So would you rather, okay, so if you had a choice, would you rather have a mega church or the church you have now, and why?
Well, that's really a hard question to answer from my standpoint, because that's something that I've gone to God about when he showed me the development of the church. Typically, some may want to stick with a smaller group because of the ability to touch everybody. And that's a wonderful feeling. But came out of Greater Community. I came from Titus Harvest Home, which was Titus, which it ended up being a spectrum. So I came from big ministries. So I've been part of big ministries and small ministries. And they both have their advantage. Bigger ministry, because you have more people who's giving, and that gives more opportunity for you to do more to the community, in the community. If you have more resources, naturally you can do more. When you have less, you're only able to do so much. And so the only draw to me of being a mega ministry, and I would put a mega ministry at 2,000 members or more. Okay, that's where I would put mega ministry. You may consider 500 a mega ministry. I don't know. But mega ministry means a team of workers. And typically in my earlier training at the W.L. Porter Institute, one thing we was taught, and even my bishop taught this, effectively, a pastor can really only touch about 100 to 125 people, effectively, one person. So he needs a team of people to touch more. And it's only when that team of people is in true unity with him can they really touch the masses. The work that Christ was able to do when he fed the 5,000, because he had 12 workers that was willing to do their part, and he was working on a culture that followed a set protocol. Nowadays in this culture, we have some people don't know how to honor the sanctuary. So to them, it's okay to drink coffee and eat cookies in the sanctuary. They treat it like a movie theater. Well, I didn't come up that way. I came up at Faith United Holiness. Mother Anderson was the missionary at the door. And if you were chewing bubble gum, she, in her raw hand, no glove, she pointed at your mouth and she pointed at the hand. It didn't matter whether you were grown or a child. She didn't let you chew bubblegum in church. I grew up that way. So I grew up respecting the house of God and the presence of God. So many people may think that's the extreme and don't see the harm in it. And so since it's a small matter, we don't focus on that. We try to move past that because at the end of the day, we're just trying to win souls. So you have a different dynamic. So it all depends on your where you at, what God has for you, the ability. And here's the greatest thing about it. God never puts on you more than you can bear. And so should God call me to do a mega ministry, I know that he would have already equipped me to be able to be a good manager of a team that I'm working with, because I know that I can't do it alone. And we get that lesson and understanding, because Moses tried to manage a million people plus. And his father-in-law told him, listen, you can't do this. You're going to kill yourself. You're going to kill yourself. Appoint you elders. I'd be an elder, y'all, so I have a responsibility to help unburden the pastor, unburden other leaders, you know, even when it works to other departments. So we are workers together. And so because I have that understanding, it really doesn't matter to me, long as that I know that I'm fulfilling what God has for me in that season. I hope I answered your question.
All right.
Yes, you did. Thank you.
All right. Now, back to where I was heading you with. Like I said, this show is about disabilities, though. So first question, we're just looking for a number here, Pastor Bonnet. How many people of the 30 that you have some sort of disability?
I want to say about maybe that I'm aware of about 1 lady that has a disability. She was the one that did pass. And minor disability for as people who have had surgery and have had replacement of body parts. We have about 2 like that, and mental disability, we have 1 notably. But he's active. That's right. He testified Sunday, and he felt so good to testify before the church. You could just see how it blessed him. He was excited just to be able to stand up and say, and come up to the podium and say what he had to say concerning his relationship with God, him being baptized. And so that was a blessing to experience that. But for his impairment, I don't think we have any that has hearing impairment or any in this local body. With any other physical defect, blindness, or a loss of limb. Now, out of our bishop church where we came out of, we had a few of those, quite a few. One of the ordained elders with us, not only is he blind, but he's a gifted singer, gifted preacher. His wife is a gifted author, was, because she passed at the beginning of this year. She was a W amputee. I'm trying to bring him on the program because he's one that he has to do dialysis to talk about his condition as it relates to his relationship with God. And because he was one who he used to, he traveled with some of the great world-renowned evangelists. And I'm going to let him tell all of that then. I'm not going to give any of it away. Singing in their, singing in their events and different things of that nature. I want to say late, now 2006 or 2008, He started having issues with his sight, and he ended up going totally blind. But still going strong in the ministry, still ministering, still pressing forward, still doing online ministry, Bible studies programs like I do.
All right. Well, with the time we got left, what I'm going to do, I'm going to play a song. This will give you a few minutes to think about what you're going to do with this. But the scripture, you remember when Moses was talking to the Lord, when God asked him to lead out the people, you were mentioning that, and God told him to take the people and bring them out of Egypt. And Moses is kind of asking God, who am I to do this? And he talks about how he was not a good man of great speech, and he couldn't speak well. So, And then God says to Moses, the scripture that I want you to think on, he says to Moses, who made man's mouth, who made the hearing or the blind or whatever? That particular scripture, as I play this song, I want you to think on that. And then the last of the time for tonight's show, we want you to bring a message on that scripture about who made man's mouth or the hearing or the blind, okay?
Okay. I mean, I'm trying to find it real quick, too, because...
Okay, that'll give you time to do that while we play this song, okay?
All right.
You gotta hear before it happens. Believe before it happens. Receive before it happens. You got to know it's gonna happen. Though it seems it won't be, but God said this one's on me. I know it's hard to see, but God said this one's on me. But God says, sometimes it's hard to see, but oh, God says, hold me. gonna happen. Oh, as to me.
All right. And so we have our own Pastor Bonnet here is going to give us a message impromptu, unexpected, nor pre-planned. This one we asked him to do, speaking of those with disabilities especially out there that may be listening, and talking about what God told Moses, who made man's mouth, the hearing or the blind, and here is our very own Pastor Bonnet on the Jumbo Braille program. Amen.
Amen. Giving honor to God, who's the head of my life. Thank God for the opportunity to stand before his people just to inspire them and encourage them one more time in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In this particular passage on tonight that was given, I hope I'm speaking loud enough so you all can hear me. We're in the book of Exodus chapter 4, verse 11. Exodus chapter 4, verse 11 reads as follows. And the Lord said unto him, who has made man's mouth? Question mark. Or who has made the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Question mark. Father God, bless this truth as we journey together in this word of truth. In your son's name, amen and amen. Word in my mouth and my heart, amen again. Here we see that Moses is in a dialogue. And in this particular dialogue that Moses is in, God is proving to Moses that he is God. He's proving to Moses that not only am I God, but I can do exactly what I say that I can do. One of the scriptures that you don't see depicted in a lot of the makings or the movie making is this particular one in verse 7. And he said, let me back up by verse 6. We go back to verse 5 just for get it all. And verse 5 read, that they may believe that the Lord God of thy father and Abraham and the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob appeared to thee. I got to go back up again. Matter of fact, let's just go back to the beginning. Sometimes that's just take time and just do it right. Verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me. That's where this contents of this conversation is coming from. Many people set out to speak for God, but they begin to say, Lord, they're not going to believe me. Why? Because people have their own imagination on who God can use and who God should use. And evidently, Moses himself thought that, hey, because of my speech impediment, I am not one that God can use. And many times we have issues with ourselves because we think we're too this or too that, that God can't use us. And the truth of the matter is, if you are a human being, then you are authorized, and you're the only legal authorization that God can use on the earth because you were anointed to work in this earth's atmosphere. When you go back to Genesis and look, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let us give them dominion. So we have the authority, mankind have the authority to operate here in the world. And so whatever God has planned for you and I, we're authorized to do it if that's what he wants us to do. So we go back again to the verse, and Moses answered and said, behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord has not appeared to thee. In other words, they're going to think I'm lying. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thy hand? And he said, a rod. A lot of times we're looking everywhere else. We're looking to this organization. We're looking to that organization for validation. But God said, I'm going to use what's in your hand. I'm going to use you right where you are. I didn't graduate from high school. I'm going to use you right where you are. I didn't go to college. I'm going to use you right where you are, because God knows who you're going to reach. God knows who he's sending you to. And so wherever you are, understand God can use you right where you are. And he said, what is in your hand? He said, a rod. And he said, cast it down. And he cast it down on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled before it. He said, what in the world? What this? He said, this is the power of God working through your hand. See, it was a stick in your hand, but when you released it, it became more. See, it may be a pencil in your hand, but when you released it, it becomes the next great sermon. It may be a keyboard that your fingertips are upon, but it may be the next great idea for a business. It may be the next formula to cure the common cold. We don't know until you release it what it's going to be. And the Lord said to Moses, put forth thy hand and take it by the tail. You ain't got to run from it. You ain't got to run from the calling of God in your life. You ain't got to run from the things that God has blessed you. Sometimes people get blessed and they're ashamed to share their blessing. Yeah, you get blessed with a brand new car. You get blessed with a raise on your job. You're scared to share it. Now, you ain't got to go and renounce it to the whole world, but you ain't got to be afraid to enjoy the things that God has given you. Some people, when I look around and I think about the house that I was trying to buy before this one, although it was brand new from the ground, it still doesn't measure up to this one. But I was settling for that one in an area that was less than this one, definitely harsher. It was in the inner city. But God brought me to the outskirts and put me in a place with more. Because I let go and let him. That's what I want to say to you today. Learn to let go and let God. Let God be in your whatever you think that's lacking, and watch him work. And told him, put forth his hand, and he caught it by the tail, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God, thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, God of Jacob, has appeared unto thee. In other words, I'm going to bless you to a point when you do what I've given you to do, they're going to see me. They're going to recognize me in you and me through you. And so when you allow God to operate with your little, regardless of how it is, he begins to magnify it even more. Verse 6, and the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thy forth thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thy hand in thy bosom again. And he put his hand in his bosom again. And he plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, nor hearken to thy voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the later sign. In other words, sometimes people are not going to receive us, preachers, missionaries, brothers, sisters, anyone sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with other people. Sometimes people are not going to receive your first saying. They're not going to receive what you are saying about Christ the first time. They're going to have to see something, especially when they know you, especially when they knew who you were. You may talk good, and they heard it, but when they look at you, they still remember when. They remember when you killed this person, when you did that, and when you stole this, and when you lied that. They remember you when. They not remember you now and then. They remember back then, not now. And so if they need another sign. They need to see transformation in your life. They need to see you turning the other cheek. They need to see you not cussing at the first response. They need to see your behavior is more like God. As they begin to see the second side, which changed you from the inside out, now they begin to believe. And that's what we see in the scripture. And it shall come to pass that if they believe not these two signs, neither hearken thou voice, that they shall take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood in dry land. Now, God is making this man do some supernatural stuff. Now, he does far past all of us. In other words, God knew he was dealing with a stiff-necked people. He knew that he was dealing with a people who has totally lost their identity. And many times when we're ministering in this world today, we're dealing with people that have totally lost their identity. So what we have to do is be steadfast in God's word. We have to be unmovable in God's word. And we have to keep abiding in God's word. It's when believers compromise with the world, do the world stop believing in our God. So we can't compromise. Amen. And so verse 10 says, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech. I stutter. I can't give a quick comeback. I have to process my thoughts a little bit slower than everybody else. He said, I am slow to speak and of a slow tongue. And at that time, people like that, and even now today, are many times people who are marked, and many times people who are looked upon or looked down on. But just because you have a disability does not mean that God do not desire to use you. God took this man's disability and made him appear as a little G-O-D in the eyes of Pharaoh. So we see verse 11 says, and the Lord said unto him. Now this is God dealing with us and I when we come up with our excuses, when we are not believing what God say that we can do and what we should do. He say to us, and who has made man's mouth? So when you think that you can't speak for God, all you got to do is remember, who made your mouth? You know, that's like me jumping in my truck and my truck said, I can't go over 80. I'm looking at the truck like, you didn't make yourself. When Chevrolet made y'all, they put 140 on this dash. And you can do at least 120. You could do it. because they put it on him. And see, sometimes we don't know what God put on us. Many times we don't know what God put in us. And because we don't know, we don't think it's possible. But when we remove the limitations of God off of God, I'm going to say it again, when we remove the limitations off of God, not that God is limited, but when we remove our self-imposed limitations on God, that's our presupposed disposition of what God can do or will do in us. When we remove those out of the equation, then the whole world is available for us to do. Moses, he said to Moses, who has made man's mouth, or who has made the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? In other words, you may be dumb, or you may have eloquence of speech, or not so eloquent of speech. You may be deaf, or you may hear well. You may be blind, or you may see well. But in every case, God is still your maker. And if God says you can do it, you can do it. I'm reminded in Jeremiah chapter 1, and I believe around the 6th verse, he said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. So in my closing remarks tonight, I want you to know that before God formed us, he knew us. And so because he knew us long before he finished us, don't give up now because he is not finished working on you. Let God finish working in you and on you so that the real you can touch the world better than you can ever imagine. Now, verse 12. Now, therefore, go. Here's the command to all that are listening. Now, therefore, go. Feel no more on your testimony. Don't be ashamed of your conversion in Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power unto salvation. So do not be ashamed. He says here in verse 12, now, therefore, go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what things to say. God bless this truth. Let it germinate in your heart. I'm going to resound that verse 12 one more time for the person that needs to hear it the most. Now, not yesterday. Don't worry about yesterday. Don't even think about tomorrow. Right now, today, this very moment, now, therefore. So let all your failures out your life. Let them go. Don't look at them as failures anymore. Look at them as lessons learned. Don't look at your shortcomings. Get away from them. Let them go. Now, therefore, since God has touched your mouth, now, therefore, go. And God said, I will be with your mouth and teach you, you shall say. God wants to bless you. He wants to use you. Lift up those hands and say, God, use me. Hear my Lord, use me. Hear my Lord, use me. Thank you. God bless you. God keep you. Missionary Ken is back in your hands.
All right. Well, now, one other thing there, Pastor Bonnet. We want you to give, for those who may be in your area of the globe, the times and service times, et cetera, of your church services there would be greatly appreciated.
All right. All right. The Greater Somerville Church of God in Christ is located at 215 West Market Street in the Greater Somerville area. We're right across the street from the General Library there in their main town, town hall area. Amen. That is, again, the 215 West Market Street, Greater Somerville. Our service time starts at 8 a.m. Central Standard Time, 8 a.m. We're on Facebook, 8 a.m. Central Standard Time. We start at 8 a.m. on the dot.
Is that Sunday?
On Sundays mornings, every Sunday morning. We also have our Sunday school time starting at 10 o'clock each Sunday. We have a wonderful Sunday school hour. Amen. We believe in our Sunday school hour. It is the fundamental teaching of the Bible. We encourage those that need to know their Bibles to be there, and those that know their Bibles to be there to help others to learn their Bibles. So we encourage you to join us every Sunday at 215 West Market Street in the West Market Street, Greater Somerville, Tennessee. And that is at 8 a.m. Central Standard Time for the main worship service and 10 a.m. Sunday school hour. Every Wednesday, we have a Bible program on Zoom. Every Wednesday on Zoom. There's so many numbers. I don't know if I can give those. And so it's programmed in my phone. Forgive me for not having that at my hand now. But every Wednesday we do our one-hour Bible study on our Zoom platform. We also offer prayer 5 days a week. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday we're praying in the mornings from 6 a.m. to 6:15 a.m. every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we have the same Bible study program, time of prayer from 7 p.m. Central Standard Time to 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Amen. And you can always join us on our any time of prayer. Our number there that you may call to join us in prayer is 712-451-0011. Again, our prayer line number is 712-451-0011. The access code is 300-491. Access code 300-491. You can join us in prayer. God bless you and God keep you. We love you with the love of Christ.
Amen. And finally, Pastor Bonnet, with the last bit of time here as we go approach the bonus hour, we have, of course, six. We have Emily's stepdad on the line with us. And we just curious if the Lord, as well as me and Ruth, we're curious if the Lord has any special word that you may have for any of those or any other person that you believe that might be listening, that the Lord has laid on your heart a prophetic word for those.
Well, First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourself and to all men. That's just a word of encouragement. See that none render evil for evil. In other words, people may have done you wrong. And I know sometimes it's the human condition to want karma to hit them smack fat just in the head. But don't you seek out vengeance. The Bible said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And so we don't need to seek vengeance. Oftentimes, the condition of our world is based on other people trying to get over on other people. But if we can ever escape that notion, that emotion, we can truly love our neighbors as ourselves. We can truly become our brother's keeper. And so I want to encourage anyone that's listening now, exercise a thankful heart daily. The scripture that says, in all things give thanks. Now, it has a whole lot more that comes with that, but I stop right there because if you stop right there, in all things give thanks, that means when something bad happened to you, before you can think about getting back or who did it, say thank you. Thank you that it didn't kill you. Thank you that it didn't take your life. Find some way to thank God for it. If you stump your big toe and it start bleeding, tell God thank you that you still got a toe that will bleed. Tell God thank you. If your wife start talking crazy about you, tell God thank you that you don't have to worry about burial expenses right now. You ain't got to worry about being lonely right now. Tell God thank you. Find a way to tell God thank you. If you're in the midst of financial reversals, tell God thank you that you're here to experience the reversal, because you're here to experience the reversal. You're also here to experience God's deliverance. Because the thing about the saints of God, we do go through. But the way we come out is with our hands lifted up. So I pray that whatever you're going through right now, that you're learning day by day just to say thank you, Lord. And I guarantee you it would change your whole mold. I don't know how I'm going to do a lot of stuff, but I learned to say thank you. And somehow, some way, it just keeps working out for my good. So I'm going to keep saying thank you. And I encourage you to do the same. God bless.
All right. And so you've been listening to the Jumble Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. We want to encourage you to check out Pastor Bonnet here on the Six Eyes Radio Network on Sunday mornings, of course, at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. And, of course, on Monday nights at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern and, of course, 6 Pacific. We want you to check him out. He has some great messages that you could check out. And so we just ask you to check him out. He's good and anointed, got good messages that you could check out on those days. So we encourage everybody to do that on the Six Eyes Radio Network, as well as the rest of the programming here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, The Word of the King, on 8 p.m. Tuesdays, the Wednesday night Bible study, of course, at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, the Jumbo Prayer Program, which you just listened to here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, 9 p.m. Thursdays, and, of course, the talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang at 9 o'clock on Fridays and our open programming on Saturdays. So for Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, Big Dot, and, of course, Ghost Dot, Sister Ruth, and the whole gang, we want to say God bless, good night, and we'll catch you tomorrow for the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang Show, 9 p.m. tomorrow night. God bless.
Amen. Thank you for having me.